Welcome back. This is episode 525 of the NYYST podcast. We're presented by NYY Underground. I am your host, Christian. And the New York Yankees keep rolling. Just about a half hour ago, they completed an 11-3 win over the Baltimore Orioles. The New York Yankees are on fire right now as the best team in the American League. But all anybody wants to talk about is Anthony Volpe. Now, doing a podcast in this format where you record after a game, you put it in the can, and you release it the following morning, it can come back to bite you. As we saw last week when we did a whole thing on Luis Gil, I must have spent 10 or 15 minutes on him or whatever it was, and then not even a half hour after I clicked end, the Yankees announced that they were demoting him. So it almost made a lot of what we said moot, although the points were still there and backed up by the fact that the Yankees sent him down, right? So we're going to have to take a risk here again because it's 5:20 right now as we sit and record this podcast as we await the New York Yankees to make a decision on Anthony Volpe. I waited until I heard Boone speak to click record. Aaron Boone said that as of right now, there is no decision on Anthony Volpe. The Yankees the Yankees are rolling here, as we said. The New York Yankees are 13-2 in their last 15 games. The New York Yankees are playing really, really good baseball. As I said, they're 13-2 in their last 15 games. Jose Caballero is hitting over 300 with an OPS over 800 in his last 15 games. These are things that are complicating the Anthony Volpe decision because you know deep down in your heart of hearts, the Yankees don't really want to send Anthony Volpe down to the minor leagues. The rehab window closes this evening, so they have to make a decision whether he's on the big league team on Monday or he's not. The fact that the Yankees are playing so well and his replacement is playing so well is throwing a monkey wrench into these plans here. Because, as I said, the Yankees don't want to send Anthony Volpe down to the minor leagues. They don't want this to be a talking point of, hey, this was your golden boy. This was the guy that you stuck at shortstop and we were going to ride all these sub 700 OPS seasons for because he was the future, and now all of a sudden that he's not. And the Yankees don't want to have to deal with that. We talk about here all the time on NYYST about smart or Yankees, and now we've reached a crossroads here on May 3rd of the ultimate smart or Yankees decision of what to do with Anthony Volpe. Anthony Volpe belongs in the minor leagues right now. The New York Yankees are playing some really great baseball. They are the best team in the American League. They're 13-2 in their last 15 games. His replacement is hitting over 300 in those 15 games. There's no reason to upset the apple cart right now. There is no positive value that can come from Anthony Volpe coming back to the New York Yankees right now because the only thing that can happen here is the Yankees start losing and Anthony Volpe plays poorly. That's the only thing that can happen. The Yankees can continue to play really well, and Jose Caballero can continue to be a contributing force to that. Anthony Volpe comes in, and things don't stay status quo. It is a bad situation for not only him, but the team as well. That is why if the Yankees were smart, what they do is say, hey, Anthony, you need a little bit more time down in AAA. We're playing really well. We'll come get you when we need you. Hopefully they never need him, but we know at some point that they will call him up. The Yankees cannot ruin the vibes around the team right now. And inserting a guy into the lineup when he doesn't belong there, when his replacement is playing really well, and when the team is playing really well, will upset the vibes around the team. This is a guy the fans have turned on and turned on in a big way. This is not Aaron Judge. It's not if Aaron Judge spent the first 35 games on the IL and he was coming back regardless of how he was how the team was playing or how his replacement was playing. He goes directly back into the lineup. He's Aaron Judge. He's the best player in baseball. This is a kid that has a career OPS plus around 83, between 83 and 86. I don't have the exact number in front of me right now. That's who we're talking about. A guy that the fans have turned on. You cannot put him back in this lineup right now. If they want to save Anthony Volpe, What they have to do at the bare minimum is call him up on Friday. Do not put him in front of the Yankee Stadium crowd right now. You please, for the sake of not only him and my own sanity, do not put Anthony Volpe in front of the Yankee Stadium crowd right now. If you just want to buy yourself some time to make it look like you did something, he shows up in Milwaukee on Friday. He does not play in front of the Yankee Stadium crowd because the Yankees, after they play Texas here, after they complete this wraparound series with the Baltimore Orioles, they go to Milwaukee for three, then they're in Baltimore for three, day off three against the Mets. So you can even bring him back on Monday against Baltimore. You certainly don't want to bring him back in New York against the Mets, regardless of what the Mets are doing or how bad the Mets are. There's going to be a lot of Yankee fans there, especially if the Mets continue to play as poorly as they have been playing. There's going to be a lot of Yankee fans there. So you want to look at that six-game window between the 8th and the 13th there where Volpe can make his return, because then you're looking at another homestand, especially against Toronto, where, hey, the Yankees got to go out there and put their foot on the neck of the Toronto Blue Jays there and let them know that 2026 is going to be a hell of a lot different than 2025. So you don't want to bring them back there. That's a four-game set, a huge four-game set, the biggest series the Yankees have played so far this season. And I don't care. I'm not even looking at the standings of where the Blue Jays are. The Yankees have to prove a point to the Blue Jays and to the fan base. So that's not where you want to bring them back. So then you maybe Memorial Day against Kansas City, is that where, when they're in Kansas City, is that where you bring him back? All I know is that you cannot bring him back on this homestand. If you bring him back on Friday, I'm going to sit here on the next podcast and tell you it's all theater, whether that's a Bronx or nowhere, because we'll be live on Thursday night and we'll probably know something by then, or when we come back for NYYST on Mother's Day there on the 10th. I'll come out and I'll tell you it was all for theater. It was all for show. The Yankees really wanted to bring him up on Monday and knew that they just couldn't put him in front of the fan base. But that's the bare minimum of what you have to do right here. Do not put him in front of the Yankee Stadium fans. Please do not do that. Because if the Yankees sweep, or the Yankees are going for a sweep tomorrow, and they don't, Anthony Volpe takes an 0-for-5, and they lose that game, and then they're trailing early against Texas, and Volpe strikes out with a couple runners on, it's going to get ugly, and it's going to get ugly quickly. You know it, and I know it. That's why the Yankees have to save this kid from the fans. At the bare minimum, save him from the fans, okay? And after I just said all that, we're going to go here just to make sure we're going to be doing this a lot here, scrolling and checking here to make sure that nothing changes here. Because, like I said, we did that whole thing on Luis Gil last week. It wasn't even an hour after I ended the podcast and they announced the demotion. So far, nothing. But Boone said no decision. I would think that we would hear something maybe in an hour or so, if any, one way or another, something has to happen. But we're recording at 5:30 on Sunday night. The show's got to go in the can. We're just going to take it as is right now. Okay. So the Yankees with a big 11-3 win today over the Baltimore Orioles, and the Yankees are continue this hot stretch of baseball that they are on here, where they have ascended to the top of the American League. And what you really, really liked about this series from the Yankees is the fact that they are clearly better than the Baltimore Orioles. You know this, and I know this. They are clearly better than the Baltimore Orioles. And what the Yankees did in this series is that they went for the kill late in games, okay? That is a mark of a really, really good baseball team. That is a real good sign of being a really, really good baseball team. When you do it against teams that you're better than, is when you go for the kill late in games and you put teams away. Friday, the Yankees were up 5-2 in the bottom of the seventh, added single runs in the seventh and the eighth, gave themselves an easy 7-2 win. Saturday, 6-4 going into the bottom of the seventh, they put up three, win 9-4. Today, tight ball game all the way through. Max Fried was not great today. Grind it. The Yankee, and Boone said it, he had to ride him a little bit longer than he wanted to because he knew he was short down in the pen today. Well over 100 pitches into the sixth when you really didn't want to see Max put in that situation, because it wasn't an easy 100 plus pitches for Max Fried today. But They're up 4-3 going into the eighth inning, and the Yankees just blitz Andrew Kittredge and the rest of that Baltimore bullpen with a seven spot, and they win 11-3. That is what you want to see out of a good baseball team. That is what you want to see out of a team that you think can go and win a championship this year, is that they see a team that they're better than, they're up late, and they just go to work and put the game away. And that's what the Yankees did this weekend against the Baltimore Orioles. And Max Fried, as I said, was not great today. He just wasn't. You saw it early on with that first at bat. He just couldn't find a put away pitch. But Max Fried is a guy that he's rarely going to implode. And he took that game 3 runs into the sixth inning, where the Yankees were in a position to get a lead 4-3 and then put the game away late. So again, it's always about that whole Roger Clemens thing. You're going to have X amount of games where you're unhittable, and you're going to have X amount of games where you just have nothing. And it's what you do with the games in the middle. And this is one of those games in the middle today where he really had to grind this, and the Yankees still won a baseball game. So that is the mark of a true ace here. And that's what Max Fried did today. And you look at the Yankees going forward here. And I'll say this again, guys. I don't want to gaslight myself. Okay. I did it last year, headed into the postseason, because the Yankees, what they did so well last year is that they looked at they were probably, what, down like 3, 4 games late in the season to Toronto. And instead of saying, okay, we're going to be the top wild card or anyway, regardless, we take our foot off the gas here. No, they went to try to win the division, and they were super hot down the stretch. And I said to myself, okay, they didn't win a division, but you look at this team, the way they play defense and the pitching and everything, and this might be the most complete team that Aaron Boone had. And then we got to October, and they lost in 4 games in the ALDS. So, and I don't want to gaslight myself into this again, but as we sit here on May 3rd, I'm looking at a baseball team that has not great starting pitching. Okay, they have elite starting pitching. Coming into the game today, the guys with the two lowest whips in the American League are Kemp Schwiller and Max Fried. You have Will Warren, who I talk about this all the time. I've been talking about Will Warren for years. I didn't think he was ever going to be this. I'll be honest with you. I thought ceiling was a three, but a very reputable back end of the rotation starter. This guy's pitching like an ace so far this year. And you got what David Weathers is. I did it again. I'm gonna do it all year. Forget it. You know who I'm talking about. And then you got Ryan Weathers. And I said, I don't know why I never called Cody Clay, but I can't stop calling Ryan David. Okay. You got Ryan Weathers, who's been great for the Yankees. He had that one start a couple weeks ago where he gave up a bunch of home runs. Was it against the Angels? It might have been against the Angels. I don't remember off the top of my head. When he gave up all those home runs, and he's a bum. He sucks. Another bad Cashman trade. And he's been great. He's been really, really good for the Yankees, to the point where you don't want to pull him from the rotation, but you're going to have to, because it's Gerrit Cole and he's going back in the rotation. So that's another thing. Okay, we made the point of Aaron Judge earlier, but let's take a something that's actually going to happen here. And Gerrit Cole is going to come back to the rotation. I'm leaving Rodon out because Rodon's going to be first, and Elmer Rodriguez is just here for a starter too. So that's a different situation. But you got a guy in David. I did it again. I just fucking said it, and I did it again. Ryan Weathers, who's pitched really good for the Yankees. It's going to be going on 2 months when Gerrit Cole is ready to come back. Is ready to come back, and he's just going to get his job back. Because he's Gerrit Cole, and he's proven that you don't lose your job for injuries, because when you're the ace of the staff and you're Gerrit Cole, that doesn't happen to you. But when you're Anthony Volpe and you're a bag of dog shit for 3 entire seasons, you don't get your job back just because you're healthy all of a sudden. That doesn't happen. You have to have a situation where everything is working out in your favor, and it's just not right now, because the team is playing well and your replacement is playing well. That's why you don't just get your job back. So yeah, Gerrit Cole's going to get his job back, and he So it's a different situation, and that's what's going to happen. But you look at Ryan Weathers and you're saying to yourself, wow, man, we got to pull this guy from the rotation who's been super good for us. And that's how deep this Yankee rotation is right now. So you look at this rotation and you're going to have three aces at the top of it with Gerrit Cole, Max Fried, and Cam Schlittler. And some really, your 4-5 is Carlos Rodon and Will Ward. I mean, come on now. And then Ben Rice had a little bit of a scare today, comes out of the game after he hits his 12th home run of the season. And we're like, oh my God, I'm freaking out. I'm texting everybody. I'm like, season, you're just like, no, not Ben Rice. Not Ben Rice. But he did kind of get one when Max went for the pickoff throw there. And contusion, Boone said day to day. Maybe he's off on Monday. Maybe he's off on Tuesday, but it doesn't seem like it's serious. But you got Ben Rice and Aaron Judge. And you look at what these two are doing together in this lineup, where, yeah, Aaron Judge by the end of the season is going to have the full complement of Aaron Judge numbers, because right now, after hitting his 13th home run today, Aaron Judge, let me look this up real quick. Aaron Judge is hitting 264, 13 home runs, 23 driven in a 1031 OPS. Which you look at 1031, you're like, that's not Aaron Judge, dude. But that's there's like four guys in the whole league with an OPS over 1,000, and we have two of them. And then look at Ben Rice, what Ben Rice is doing. The guy is outplaying the MVP, who's still producing like an MVP. 343, 12 home runs, 27 batted in, 1241 OPS, or 1214. We looked at Aaron Judge and Juan Soto and what those guys did together, and we said to ourselves, we'll never see anything like this again in our lifetime. And Ben Rice said, hold on a second. I'm 22 now. I got this. And these two have posted 13 home runs respectively and 12. And then Judge is 1031 on the OPS. Rice is 1214 with the OPS. This is on pace to surpass the 99 home runs and what we thought was a generational tag team of what Aaron Judge and Juan Soto did together in 2024. I don't have the updated numbers in front of me, but I did some math the other day, if I can find it here. Hold on a second, guys. I'll get it for you. It had to be yesterday. I think I looked it up. I didn't do the math today. I should have, okay, but I didn't. Yeah, this was just, I mean, like, come on. Aaron Judge was on pace for 61 a couple of days ago, and Rice was on pace for 56 a couple of days ago. And I'm sure those paces are similar or higher now after their home runs today. And Judge and Soto hit 99 together. Now, again, paces aren't exact. They're, we all know that a guy can be on pace for this, has a big slump, pace goes down, we all know how it works. But we're looking at what could truly be the greatest 1-2 punch that we've seen the Yankees have since probably the days of what? Maris Mantle? Come on. These guys are both on pace for well over 50 home runs together, with Aaron Judge currently on pace to break his record. We thought just 2 short years ago, we were never going to see a team like Judge and Soto again. And Ben Rice was like, I got this. A 12th round draft pick out of Dartmouth is about to go on a generational run with the best hitter that we've seen in our lifetime. I don't want to gaslight myself. I really, really don't. But when you look at the starting pitching and you look at what these two are doing and the fact that Cody Bellinger has woken up, and now Jason Dominguez all of a sudden has a three-hit day today, how can you not let yourself go there? and think that this is going to be a special summer in October in the Bronx. Because again, we said it last week, this is all the regular season for 2026 is about here. Optimizing opportunities for October. And I love Giancarlo Stanton. And yes, he's another guy where maybe you look at it and say, maybe we don't rush him back. Maybe we don't rush him back into the lineup. Because if Jason Dominguez, if this is the jumping off point here, where the Martian finally breaks out here, has three hits, including another one from the right side, and his first home run of the year, and you know that dynamic ability he brings to the table, how do you take him out of the lineup? Well, what you would do is you would put him in left field and you'd have Cody Bellinger play second, center, because, you know, realistically, Trent Grisham. I mean, come on now. I saw something today that Trent Grisham's bat speed is down like a mile and a half that from what it was last year. And that could be explaining a lot of things. But yeah, so I mean, we're still here with no official word from the Yankees on Anthony Volpe. And I know it's going to happen the second that I click off this show, but that's fine. And it doesn't change really anything that I have to say here. If they call him up tomorrow and he's in the lineup, it's a when we talk about smarter Yankees, it's Yankees and it's stupid. Okay? That's what it is. We talked about all the reasons why. You don't put him into this situation where things can only go wrong for him. And if they leave him down in AAA, smart. You want to tell me the Yankees are moving differently this year? Things are going to be different for the Yankees? He stays in AAA until at least Friday. At least then, even if it is for theater, you showed me that you wanted the perception to be out there that things are different and that you can make the moves that are necessary to have the team accomplish its goal in optimizing the opportunities for October. Because, yeah, Jose Caballero probably not going to hit 300 all year. And the numbers, when we looked at them on Thursday on the Bronx, are nowhere, were a lot better than they were today. Okay, so we all know that with Cabby. But the Yankees are winning, and Cabby's the shortstop. Don't mess with it. That's just what it is. Do not mess with it. Now, God forbid, the Yankees lose tomorrow. They drop two out of three to Texas, and Cabby takes it, you know, an 0 for 12 or whatever it is. Okay, you know what? That's bring him back. But right now, you're on a 13-2 stretch. Cabby's hitting 300 in that stretch. You don't mess with it. Do not mess with it. That's it. And I'll tell you what, we talk about Anthony Volpe being the ultimate smart or Yankees decision here. After this decision is made, the next one is going to be on Ryan McMahon, who had three hits today. Okay? And I don't really care that Ryan McMahon had three hits today, because what really bothered me about Ryan McMahon was the error that he had in the sixth inning. That would have been an easy out for Max Fried, while Max is trying to grind and push in a game where he doesn't have his best stuff, where he's trying to grind to get through six. And Boone knows that because because the Yankees are short in that bullpen, he makes an error and has Boone go to the bullpen earlier than he wanted to and gets Max Fried out of that game. Now, coming into the game today, and you look at defensive metrics. Ryan McMahon has been objectively a bad shortstop this year. He just has been. I mean, third baseman. I'm sorry. I'm just Anthony Volpe on the brain here. He's just been a bad third baseman with negative three outs above, negative three defensive run saves and zero outs above average. Now, today, with those three hits, because he actually looks respectable now with 259 and a 7-11 OPS. I'm looking at Jose Caballero. I knew that wasn't right. I knew that wasn't right. Ryan McMahon is hitting 200 after getting three hits today, and his OPS is still 589. The New York Yankees cannot carry Ryan McMahon's 589 OPS if he's going to be an objectively bad third baseman, which he's been for 2026. You can make the argument they shouldn't carry it if he was an elite third baseman this year. 589 is disgustingly bad. Okay. Now remember where the Yankees set the bar. The Yankees set the bar for Ryan McMahon at 650 when they made the trade. They were said, oh, we just hit 650 with that defense, we'll take it. Okay, well, it's 589 right now, and he's got negative three defensive runs saved on the season. Why Ryan McMahon, in my mind, is not a DFA candidate comes down to one reason and one reason only: money. I've said this before, and we'll repeat it again here. The Yankees have $31 million invested into the third base position in 2026. Remember, they're eating $15 million of DJ LeMahieu's final year of his contract because he got DFA'd last year. His replacement, Ryan McMahon, who's making $16 million this year to be probably worse. Would you say that? At least in the same ballpark of awfulness of what DJ LeMahieu did last year. So are the Yankees going to just eat another $16 million here? I don't see it. And eat $16 million next year? I don't see it. But Ryan McMahon has stunk this year. And somebody on social media, when I made this same point, well, he had three hits today, and he's been better recently. Hey, you're here to play defense. And when your ace is struggling today, and you know the bullpen is short, you don't make that error. You don't. Help your team out there make a play that anybody should make. He didn't. Could have cost the Yankees the game until they went on their offensive blitz in the eighth inning. And good thing for that. Okay? So what is the thing that you do with Ryan McMahon? I don't know. Because you want to tell me you want to give George Lombard XABs down in AAA? Fine with me. I'm not saying rush him up here, but is this a hot take for me to say that George Lombard will be the starting third baseman for the Yankees in game one of the American League Division Series? It's possible you guys feel that way, because I think that's the best option for the Yankees going forward here, is that George Lombard is in Scranton, continues to rake, and we look at this in July, and we say, okay, call him up. Call him up for August and September. Let's see what he's got here. And if he rakes in August and September, or is even competent, and what I mean by competent is 7-10, hitting 230, 240, 250 with the skill set that he has on the bases and defensively, that's your starting third baseman right there. You want the Yankees to show you that we're doing things differently? Okay, well, then when they sent down Luis Hill, that was one. Because we talked about this too. Hey, you know what? It's two starts for Elmer Rodriguez most likely. And the Yankees could have easily said, you know what? It doesn't matter. We're playing good baseball right now. It's two starts. Let's not do anything drastic here and send Luis Hill down. We'll make that move when we have to. No. They looked at it and said Elmer Rodriguez is the better option right now. Ryan McMahon started to get benched because Ahmed Rosario was playing well. Okay, maybe things are looking a little bit differently. Although now we're at another crisis point here with Ryan McMahon defensively. Although offensively, he did have the three hits today, raises the average to 200. But you're still looking at a guy that's hitting below 600 with the OPS. So what are we going to get out of Ryan McMahon forward? A guy that's descending now offensively? Because you look at Ryan McMahon throughout the course of his career. His OPS plus coming into the game today, because Baseball Reference doesn't update these things daily, with the Yankees is 69. 69, which is 31% worse than a league average hitter. That's what he's been for the New York Yankees. And somebody said to me on social media, oh, you got to be patient with him. Look at the guy's numbers. This is not a short sample size here, guys. He's been in the big leagues 10 years now. The closest he's gotten to being a league average hitter was when he hit 98 twice. He's never, in terms of OPS plus, he's never been a league average hitter. Never in 10 years. What are we being patient with? Was it just a rare good day from Ryan McMahon? That's what I'm leaning towards with the bat. But the thing that concerns you is he's not been good at third base this year. And the fact of that he has sat down on multiple occasions when Max Fried has been on the mound because the pitching matchup favored Ahmed Rosario, shows you that even the Yankees know he hasn't been really good at third base this year, because the one thing Aaron Boone has said is that regardless of what the pitching matchup was, he being Ryan McMahon, was going to start at third base when Max Fried was on the mound, because they wanted his glove at third base regardless of the pitching matchup. And it's happened twice this year where he wasn't on the at third base when you would have thought that he would have been. So we'll see here on May 3rd. Were those three hits the start of something or a blip in the radar? Because, again, get the OPS to respectability. And, again, 650 is not really respectable, but for him it would be. And lock it down at third base. We talked about this on the Bronx of Nowhere on Thursday night with Austin Wells. I don't need him to be good offensively. Can you be around 700 and drop in 20 home runs somewhere along the way? Because he grades out elite at pretty much everything there is that for a catcher to do. His arm isn't the greatest. So handle a pitching staff, which right now is the best in the big leagues. Handle that. Continue them down that path. Do everything that you do back there. And I don't worry about the offense. And the same thing with Ryan McMahon. Do everything that you do at third base. Be an elite third baseman. We'll carry the bat. But you can only do that twice. That is the reason why right now. There's another reason why Anthony Volpe should not be back on this team. You can't carry the bat. And he sucked at shortstop last year. And again, Michael Kay earlier this week said, okay, I'll give him a pass for 2025 with the shoulder. You can't. Because 2023 and 2024 exist. Okay? Just to hammer this point home, one more time, we will look it up with Anthony Volpe in the big leagues. Because everybody wants to say, okay, well, you know, last year is last year with the shoulder injury. 81 in 2023, 86 in 2024, 82 in 2025. 666 OPS in 2023, 657 in 24, and 663 last year. If it walks like a duck and it talks like a duck, it's not your franchise shortstop. I'm sure you've heard that somewhere before. So give him an excuse for 2025. Go ahead. Explain those previous 2 years for me. That's why he doesn't get the job back. If he was around 100 in 23 and 24, around 710, 720 in 2023 and 2024, and then that happened, I say, okay, shoulder, he gets to be the shortstop. That's not what happened. Not what happened. So as we sit here shortly before 6 o'clock on May 3rd, and we'll check one more time before we go home to make sure that there's been no further movement from the Yankees here regarding Anthony Volpe, and there hasn't been. So this was a little funny quip here, because the other night that Rice caught Judge in the home run race, and then Judge hit one immediately after him. And then today Rice caught him, and then Judge hit one later on in the game. Rice goes, I think it just goes without saying that he's not going to let me catch him. And hey, you know what? If you got a guy like Ben Rice on your team that wants to go toe-to-toe with the big dog, it's going to be a fun, as long as it's, you know, it's going to be a fun season. It's going to be a fun summer in the Bronx. But again, we'll come back to this one more time. It's all about October. It's all about optimizing the opportunities in October. And if you're tired of hearing me say that, too bad, because that's what this season is about. And right now, with the way those two are swinging the bat, and Cody Bellinger coming on, and the fact that they have the deadliest starting rotation that's only going to get better, keep winning. And the Rays need to go away. Okay. They do. Because what are they? 9-1 in their last 10? We're 13-2. They're 9-1. Go away. Go away, please. Especially after they swept the Yankees. Well, you know what? We always talk about the Yankees playing well within a division, and that's one of the ways you optimize the opportunities in October is play well in the division. Well, now the Yankees are 6-3 in the American League East after getting swept, because now they've won six straight against Boston and Baltimore. So that's how you do it. Win games in your division. And right now, it looks like that Tampa's going to be that one, that second team to the Yankees right now. So, but hey, you still got to play well in the division, because those are always going to be dogfights, especially against Boston, against Toronto. Even if they're not going to send up to be playoff teams this year, they're not going to make it easy on the Yankees when they play them. They're not going to want to anyway. So continue playing well in this division. Continue pitching well. And Ben Rice and Aaron Judge continue hitting bombs. And those opportunities will be optimized, okay? They will be. The Yankees will be the top seed in the American League, because as of yesterday, there were only four teams in the American League that were above 500, including the Yankees, the Rays, A's, and Guardians. And honestly, you shouldn't be scared of any one of them. And the Rays in a short series, yeah, you would be scared, because they do things that frighten you as a Yankee fan, that they don't want to slug. They want to go out there and put pressure on a defense. And we all know what happens when you put pressure on the Yankees defense. And an Aaron Boone team in October is always going to scare me. But do they have the horses to keep up through 162? That's why I say you look at this. You look at the landscape of the American League. Tell me you shouldn't let yourself dream a little bit. But right now, the only thing anybody cares about is what's going to happen with Anthony Volpe. And at 6 o'clock on Sunday, we don't know. We'll wait to see. But hopefully, by the time you hear this on Monday morning, we'll have an answer. But regardless of what the answer is, I think I made my points pretty salient here throughout the course of the show of what I think about whether or not if they bring him back or they don't bring him back. It's not the right move to bring him back right now. And I think they know that. And I hope. I say I think that they will, because these are the Yankees. And I hope that they do make the right decision here. And hopefully the right decision has been made by you by clicking subscribe on the very podcast platform that you're listening to us on right now. This is the final season of NYYST, guys, and we're already in May. The shows are going to be dwindling down to a precious few before we know it, and we don't want you to miss any of them. So please click subscribe on your very favorite podcast platform so you don't miss anything new. Also, please leave us a 5-star rating or review. We would love to hear from you guys on the way out here in 2026. Also, please subscribe to NYY Underground on YouTube. The Bronx or Nowhere is going to be back live this Thursday at 8:30 as we wrap up this homestand here with the Yankees taking on Texas after they to complete this wraparound series with the Baltimore Orioles. And please tell everybody that NYYST is the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. And just quickly to take a look at some pitching matchups here as they wrap up this series with the Baltimore Orioles. Shane Baz against Cam Schlittler on May 4th, which, thank God, my daughter was not born on May 4th. That was my wife's original due date. I think you guys know the reason why I'm saying that. I hate Star Wars, okay? Her birthday was on Saturday. 6 years old, man. I can't believe where these 6 years went. I say this all the time because it truly is how I feel about her. I didn't believe love at first sight was real until I saw her for the first time. I love that kid to death. She's as stubborn as a mule. She gets that from me. She also loves Rocky. Gets that from me. My wife's twin and my partner in crime. I love you, Ava Carmella. And I hope you know Daddy's your biggest fan, man. And the it's been a highlight of my life being there and watching you grow up and getting now being your coach as well. It's, girls are, oh, some of them are, they're wild, man. You think one six-year-old is something to deal with. Try dealing with 12 of them on a softball field. But, yes, happy birthday to my little girl who tells me all the time, I'm not little anymore, Daddy. I know, my heart breaks every time that I realize that. But, yeah, so May 4th, tomorrow, Tuesday, Monday, Yanks wrap up going for a four-game sweep against the Orioles here. And then they start a series with the Rangers, 7:05 on Tuesday, as There's no pitching matchups listed, but I'm sure as a Yankee fan, you can kind of do the math here on who's going where. And then 7:05 on Wednesday, and they wrap up the homestand 12:35 on Thursday. So thank you again, guys, so much for your support here in the final season of NYYST. We love you guys so much. This has been episode 525. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next time.